Hey, I have a question for you. Are you struggling to stand firm in your faith, push through tough times, or make a difficult decision? Well, you're in the right place. Because today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a powerful series called Uncommon Courage. And in this series, you'll discover how to stand boldly for the truth, persevere through challenges, and step out in faith. Please don't miss a single day of Daily Hope, because the courage you need starts with God. If you're like me, you really need this message today. So let's get right to Rick with the final part of a message called The Courage to Keep Going.
There are two other things Stacy and Eric did. Job did it too. You might write these down. Number five, refuse to become bitter. Refuse to become bitter. When Job lost everything in his life in one single 24-hour period and then got a terrible illness at the same time, here's what he said. I came naked from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything that I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and take away, you give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God says, Job did not sin by blaming God. Job said, you know what? I didn't bring anything into this world, not one stinking thing. I'm not taking anything out of it into the next life, not one stinking thing. Whatever I have right now, God gave me. It's his to give, it's his to take away, it's his to allow somebody else to take away. If somebody else does it, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to be bitter. Grief is good. Bitterness is bad. Pain will not kill you. Bitterness will. Sorrow and grief will not harm you. Resentment will destroy you. Resentment prolongs the pain. It doesn't relieve it. It reinforces it. It makes it worse. Grief is a good thing. Now, men, let me talk to you for a minute, because guys, we don't handle grief very well because men, by nature, don't like sad feelings. And so when we feel any little bit of sadness, we start pushing it down. And that's, like I said, shaking up the Coke bottle. It doesn't work. But we want to push you. You need to realize grief is God's gift to you. Grief is the tool that helps you through the transitions of life. It's how you move from one loss to the next chapter, to the next stage, to the next element in your life. There is no growth without change. There is no change without loss. And there is no loss without pain and grief. You're going to have pain in your life for the rest of your life. You got to learn how to grieve good. Jesus said, blessed, that means happy, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's a good thing. God grieves. In fact, the shortest verse in the Bible is just two words. In John 11, Jesus wept. Jesus knows how to grieve. And grief is a good thing. And there's a proper time for everything in life. In Ecclesiastes, he says there's a time and purpose for everything. A time to be happy, a time to be sad. A time to celebrate, a time to mourn. A time to have a party, a time to grieve. There are seasons of grief in life. That's a good thing. But you cannot let a season of grief become a lifestyle of grief, because that'll destroy you. There's a time and purpose for everything. In other words, there's a difference between mourning and moaning. There's a difference between weeping and wallowing. And at some point, you gotta let it go. I want you to write this down. Losses deepen me, but don't define me. Losses deepen me, but they don't define me. You are not your divorce. You are not the bankruptcy. You are not the failure of that business. You are not the disability. You are not the difficulty. Losses deepen me, but they do not define me. They are part of my maturity. They are not part of my identity. That's not me. It's just something that happened to me. And that's over, and I'm now going on to the next thing. They're part of maturity, but not part of my identity. Another thing you need to realize is that when you go through a problem, a major problem, God gives you grace in that moment. And he doesn't give it to anybody else around you. Only the person going through it gets the grace. And God gives you just enough grace for today, and tomorrow he'll give you just enough grace to handle the stress of tomorrow, and he'll give you enough grace the next day. Now, if you start worrying about something that's going to happen in 10 days, that's stupid. Because God's not going to give you grace today for something that doesn't happen for 10 days. So you're borrowing trouble. It's why it's dumb to worry. Because when you worry, you're borrowing trouble when you don't have the grace for it yet. When you get there in 10 days, God will give you the strength to handle it in 10 days. But you don't have the strength to handle it now, and that's why it's destroying you. Because you're carrying weight that God doesn't want to give you. You're second guessing, you're presupposing, you're worrying, you're being anxious, you're being fearful. And God is not going to give you grace for that event today. You just got to live it one day at a time. The Bible doesn't say, give us this day our monthly bread. God says, I'm going to give you one day at a time, enough strength for today. Now, here's the problem. When you're in a situation, God gives you grace in that moment, but he's not giving it to the people around you who are watching. So sometimes people are going to give you the wrong advice, including friends, including family, because they don't have the same grace you've been given. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Job's wife said to Job, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Oh, thank you, honey. That was very helpful. I really appreciate, man, that's what you call a supportive woman. Thank you, honey. Curse God and die. I haven't thought of that one. Job's wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said, you're talking like a godless woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, Job said nothing wrong. He refused to become bitter. He refused to become resentful. As I said, it doesn't relieve the pain. It just reinforces it. Hebrews 12 says, watch out that no bitterness takes root among you because it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. It's been said many times, in this life, pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. It's your choice. Now, there's one other thing that Job did. Number 6, face the future with courage. Face the future with courage. That's what this message is about, the courage to keep going, uncommon courage. You know, there was another guy in the Bible who lost a baby. His name was King David. King David's wife had a little baby boy, and David loved that baby, and it got very, very sick, and it was dying. And David went in and he laid himself down in his home on the ground and he prayed night and day, night and day, night and day. He wouldn't eat. He was fasting. He wouldn't sleep. He wouldn't take a shower, a bath. He wouldn't do any business. He just prayed, God, save that baby. Save that baby. Save that baby. God, please save that baby. I don't know what your purpose and plan is. I don't know what the future is. All I know is my desire, and I want you to save that baby. It's okay to pray your desires when you don't know what God's got in store. And he prayed and he prayed and prayed, but the baby died. And when David, the king's advisors, came to tell him, King David, your son has passed away. They were worried because they thought, he's so distraught while the baby's alive, he might just lose it when the baby dies. And they were all worried. They said, your son has died. You know what David did? He got up. He dusted himself off. He went home. He took a shower. He shaved. He put on clean clothes. He ate for the first time in days. And he went back to work. And the advisors were amazed. They said, "We don't get it. You were so distraught. Now you're just going on, getting on with your life." David said something very profound. He said this, "My child will never return to me, but one day I will return to my child in heaven. He will not come back to me, but I will go to him one day." That chapter's closed. It's over. And I did the best I could. I did what I thought I could. I was acting on the best I can. But it's over. That chapter's closed. I'm going on. And I'm going to face the future with courage. Job 11 says this. "Put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous." Underline that. Face the world again, firm and courageous. You need courage to face the future. "Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more. Your life will be brighter than the sunshine at noon, and life's darkest hours will shine like the dawn, and you will live secure and full of hope." Now, many of you, if not most of you, have had a major loss in life. You know what I'm talking about. Or you've had a disappointment, and you thought, "I'm putting it all on this business. I'm putting it all on this marriage. I'm putting it all on this dream. I'm rolling the dice. I'm going for it." And it just collapsed. And it's not coming back. And that chapter on your life, in your life story, in your life book, that chapter in your life has closed. But it's not the final chapter. You're still alive. That means the final chapter of your life has not been written yet. Yes, that one was there. You can remember it, you can thank God for it, or you can grieve over it, but you say, "That chapter's over. I'm going to get on with my life. I'm going to face the future with courage." What will happen if you do these six things that Job did? What will happen if you tell God exactly how you feel? You enlist other people to support you. You stop asking why. You trust God for the stuff that doesn't make sense, and you file it in the doesn't make sense file. And you say, "God, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust you implicitly and completely. And I'm not going to become bitter. I'm going to be better. And I'm going to face the future courageously." What will happen if you do that? Look at that passage again, Job 11. I want you to circle the phrase, "Life will be brighter." I want you to circle that phrase. Life will be brighter. You see, we don't realize that the darkest time in our lives is often the tunnel to the brightest time in our life. It's the tunnel. You're going through the tunnel, but you're going to come out on the other end. Life will be brighter. You say, "I can't imagine that." You need to trust God. Life will be brighter. You need to trust God. But you do need a Savior. You need Jesus. You know, when I get to heaven, one of the first people I want to meet is Job. And I want to go up to him and I want to say, "Job, I just want to thank you. Because you had no idea what was going on in your life. You didn't see the warfare, all the stuff Satan was throwing at you. But you did it right. And life ended up brighter. I want to thank you, Job, because you helped me do some of my things that just didn't make sense. Now, here's my prayer for you. Look on the outline. Colossians 1:11. We pray, I pray, that you will be filled with his mighty, glorious strength so that you can keep going, so that you can keep going no matter what happens, so that you can keep going no matter what happens, always full of the joy of the Lord. Would you bow your heads? Father, I love these people, the people that you've put in this church family, the flock that you've put under my care. And I know so many of them have broken hearts, and so many of them have had things that just don't seem fair. And we want to say, it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't. But I know you are a good God, and I commit them to your care. And as a pastor, I pray for them that you will lead them just like you led Job through that tunnel from the darkest time to the brightest time. Now you pray. Just follow me in this prayer in your mind. Dear God, you know the pain and the loss and the disappointments I've been through. And you've heard all my doubts and all my questions and all my ranting and raving. And I am so grateful that you love me so much that you can handle all of my doubts and my complaints and my anger and my fears and my negative emotions. But God, I want to be better, not bitter. So I want to do the things that Job did. Help me to accept help from others. And starting today, I'm going to make a file. And I'm going to file all my unanswered questions in the doesn't make sense file. And instead, I'm going to trust you completely, realizing that one day I will see it all with complete clarity. And I'm going to trust you. And God, even if I die, I'm going to trust you. I know that you are a good God. I know that you love me, that you are all powerful. And I thank you that you notice every detail of my life. I thank you that you are in control, that you have a plan for my life, that you will protect me, and your plan is good. Jesus, I need you to save me from my pain. I need you to save me from my self-doubt. I need you to save me from my past. Save me from my sins. Save me from my anger. Save me from my fear. Save me from myself. I want to put my life and my trust completely in your hands. I want to face the future with courage.
You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now here's Rick with today's offer.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that He has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible. And includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope really helps us share the hope of Christ with people all over the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.